Well, good morning, afternoon, evening, junior high. Good to see you. Good to be with you today. I have the awesome privilege of being with the one and only Noah Smith, and he's going to be bringing God's word to you today. One super cool thing about Noah is he is the very first person to turn in a waiver for the revised summer camp plan for this year. We talked about it last week a little bit, and all the details are available at restingbible.org/summercamp. Noah will be there. But without further ado, I want to turn it over to him as he continues our series on how Jesus is the answer. Thanks.
Is there any special prize for being the first to sign?
Your special prize for being the first to sign up is you get to teach in junior high today. Thanks.
Hey, perfect.
Double blessing.
Perfect. Well, it's my pleasure to be with you guys here today. Let me start in some prayer, and then we'll get right into it. Lord, I thank you for today, and I thank you for Aaron and for this church and all these students out here who are going to be watching. I just pray that the subject that we're talking about today and your word and how it helps us to discern how to live best, I pray that that would really, our hearts would be open to hearing from you and learning from you. And we thank you, Lord, that you are always the example for us in how to live. And so it's in your name, Jesus, that we pray. Amen. It's great to be here back in the building. It's a little nostalgia, but I really miss you guys. And I look forward to when I'll be able to see you guys outside of a screen format. But I'll take that when I can get it. It's been good to be able to keep up with my group each week. But then with some of these Friday Night Lives, virtual Friday Night Lives, I've been able to help out with the 7th grade one and the 6th grade one. So, and I even popped in a little bit for the 8th grade one a couple weeks ago. So I've gotten to see you guys, or at least some of you, the past couple weeks, and it's really reminded me how much I miss you guys. So Aaron asked me if I would continue in this series on discernment and how Jesus is the answer. We've looked in the past at several different topics like time, pain, theological questions, entertainment, I think the Bible, the authenticity, the authority of the Bible. And today, we're going to continue that into looking in the realm of relationships and see how we can best discern how to live and have godly relationships and see how a focus on Christ, as a focus on Christ has been with each of these different topics, is also the way, the answer in navigating relationships in this life. I just wanted to start with first, relationships are kind of it cover a lot of different spectrums, because your relationship, it depends on, you know, who you're relating to. I mean, if it's your parents, that's a unique relationship. A sibling is another. Friends are others. A romantic relationship. You have relationships with, you know, just acquaintances. In all of these things, we need to see that relationships matter, and I just have a few points on just driving that home. Whether you're more introverted or extroverted, whether you were excited when you first heard about this quarantine of, hey, I can just chill by myself and watch, you know, TV and play games and all that, or whether that sounded like a death sentence, I can't go out and play with my friends. Either way, whether you lean more one way or the other, we were made for relationships. And all of us long for meaningful relationships. Even from the very beginning in the Bible, God created Adam, right? And it doesn't get very far in to where it says, where God says, it's not good for Adam to be alone. So he creates somebody that he can have a relationship with. And ultimately, God created us to have a relationship with him. And so relationships matter, but often, and I think it's very easy for us in the culture we live in, with all the, you know, we're wealthier than most of the world. We have more stuff than most of the world. And you know, we should be loving people and using things, but often, too often, we use people and love things. That's just not right, and it's a shame, but I've been guilty of it, and I know some of you guys have too. But relationships are powerful. They have the power for good or for ill that you can come into somebody's life, be a positive influence, save somebody from a path of destruction. For people who are very depressed, even thinking about, taking their lives, there's things called hotlines that you can call, and people will just be there to try to let you know that you do matter and that they're there for you, and that can save somebody's life. It's having somebody who loves you and is encouraging you and is there for you has the power to really transform the way you think. But on the flip side, being around people that are abusive, people that are mean, people that put you down constantly, that will have an effect on you as well. And I should say, we have that effect on the people we're around as well, because no man is an island. Nobody is just doesn't affect anybody, is only by themselves, even if we're quarantined, let's be real. But we all affect everybody who we're around, and they affect us. And relationships do really matter, and they are very powerful. So that's why we got to look at it today, and we got to look how, if relationships are so powerful, how can we use discernment in how best to conduct ourselves in the relationships that we have in this life? Because we'll have many. So it's important to use discernment. And, I asked my guys, just a reminder, last Wednesday, what does discernment mean again? And John, who's in my group, shout out to John Treadwell, he said it's using good judgment, which pretty much hit the nail on the head. And so how do we use good judgment? How do we use discernment in the relationships that we have in this life? So with that said, I want to look at kind of two things, that just demonstrate our need for this discernment, for this good judgment, and the consequences of not having that discernment. And then also after that, how can we discern? What are the ways that we can discern whether a relationship that we're in is a good relationship or a not so great one? So I'm going to start in the book of Psalms, in the very first Psalm. And I'm just going to read the first verse here. It starts out, "How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers." So right off the bat in the book of Psalms, it's talking that a man or woman will be blessed if they stay away from a certain type of person, from certain relationships, people who are sinners, people who scoff, that's like to mock, people who are wicked. It says to stay away from those types of people. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33, Paul says that don't be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. So no matter how you've been brought up, no matter what your beliefs are, no matter, your morals, your standards, if you hang around people long enough who don't have those standards, who are bad company, who have bad morals, the wicked, scoffers, mockers, sinners, people that we're all sinners, but people whose their lifestyle is a sinful lifestyle, if we hang around people that have that influence on us, it's going to corrupt your own standards and your own upbringing and your own morals. Paul also says in 1 Corinthians that a little leaven leavens the whole lump. And the talk there is talking about bread and, you know, the yeast, the leaven. You put a little bit in there and the whole bread, you know, that's what makes bread rise, dough rise. And what he's saying there is a little, the context of that is you have this one person who's living in sinful lifestyle, and we need to have him, you know, be removed or else it will corrupt the rest of the group. And so Paul, as a leader, a spiritual leader for the church of Corinth, recognized that having bad influences around us is going to corrupt us. Okay? And so we need to be vigilant. We need to use discernment on who we hang around. I remember back when I was your age and I had sat in these chairs and heard many, well, actually, we were at a different place. We were at the old campus back then, but you know what I mean. And hearing this whole series, you know, I heard a message on the music you listen to. I heard a message on the people you hang out with. I heard all those things, how you use your time and whatnot. I grew up in RBC, been here my whole life, and I'm much better off for it. But I had a good upbringing, went to Awana's, I knew my verses, I knew the gospel, I was a Christian, I was homeschooled, I didn't have too much contact with people who, you know, fit these descriptions. I had more contact with people who were like-minded and brought up in the same way as I was than, you know, quote unquote, the rest of the world. But, you know, if we don't buy into this, if you don't take this on not just this message on relationships, but each of these, you know, using discernment, if you don't use discernment in your life, it will catch up with you. And I know that for a fact because I've done it myself. I listened to all these messages. But then, you know, I got older and I went off to college. And the thing about college is you don't have your parents around anymore to tell you, you know, I don't think it's a good idea for you to go there. I don't think it's a good idea for you to hang out with them. I don't think it's such a good idea to engage in that behavior. And so when I went off to college, I didn't get plugged into a church. And I didn't really find a lot of fellowship with like-minded people. Like I said, bad company corrupts good morals. And the people I hung out with weren't believers for the most part. And I started acting more like them instead of them acting more like I did. And so I started engaging in the behavior just like everybody else. I would go to parties. I would do what you do at those kinds of parties. You know, there was drinking. There was lots of inappropriate behavior between the two genders, and I engaged in such. And we're talking about all different kinds of relationships, but. And some of you are a little bit younger for this in terms of relationships, romantic relationships, but you'll get there pretty fast. And some of you have already dabbled in such, which probably isn't the best use of discernment at this point, just saying. There's a reason why we tell you these things. There's a reason why God gives us these warnings. And it's because there are real consequences to the people we hang out with, the behavior we engage in, and not using good discernment and not listening to God's ways. God doesn't give us all these rules to suck the fun out of life. He gives us all these rules actually to enjoy life to the fullest. Jesus said, "I came that you may have life and have it to the full." Jesus wants you to be the happiest people. He wants you to be filled with the most joy. He wants you to enjoy this life more than anybody, more than anybody you know, more than any of the things out there that are saying, hey, if you have this, you'll be happy. Jesus wants you to have the best life possible. And that's why he gives us his word. That's why he gives us these rules. And they are rules. But you can break them. And if you do, there are consequences. And that's why we give these warning messages. Back to me. I engaged in activity, in behavior, in relationships that weren't God honoring, and they do have real consequences. You know, back to Aaron's message on entertainment a couple of weeks ago, and he was talking about some inappropriate songs and the effects that, you know, listening to that kind of stuff has on your brain and whatnot. And I was also listening a little bit to some of the senior high's messages. They're going on messages on love, sex, dating, that kind of thing. And you know what? It's true when it says that when you compromise in how you live, in how you conduct yourself, purity-wise, sexually, there's a reason why, you know, Aaron keyed in on 1 Corinthians 6, where Paul says that this kind of sin, sexual sin, it messes with you more so than other sins. And that's why God says, for relationships, I really want you to have the most out of your relationships. I created marriage, and I want you to, you know, if you are to get married, I want you to enjoy that to the fullest. And if you engage in premarital sexual behavior, it's going to hurt you. It's going to mess with you. Now, it doesn't mean it's if you've compromised in that way that you're beyond redemption or that you'll never be fixed. But I'll just tell you, I've been in relationships since my college days, and it is harder. There is a difference. You have to work at it more. To have a relationship that's godly, and it does mess with you still. And so I am begging you guys, if you guys will just listen to God. Don't listen to me. Listen to me, but listen to what God has to say, because God wants the best for you, and He wants the best for you in relationships. And I can tell you firsthand that if you engage, the more you compromise in your purity, in your, you know, in sex and dating and that kind of thing, it does have real effects. I'm not saying that it's not fun, and I'm not saying that, you know, you won't like it, because that would be a lie. But what I am saying is there are consequences. And the problems is with all those TV shows and stuff that show that this is all fun and there's no consequences, there are. And that's what we want to tell you. And so God designed, you know, things like marriage and dating and sex, and it's to be used in the best way, His way. And in that way, it's awesome, but not in that way, it can hurt you. And so that's why we say that. But, you know, it doesn't mean that, you know, that's the end all, you know, if you have messed up in that area. But we want to warn you so that you can use discernment and walk in a way that is best for you and that honors God. So you know, that is kind of my story. I'm sure there's many of your leaders don't have that story particularly, but they have their own story. And whether they were they compromised in certain areas or didn't, you know, it'd be something good to talk to them about, ask them about if you have any questions. And I'm sure they'd love to talk about that with you. But all that to say is those are just showing you that we need discernment in our relationships, and more than just romantic relationships, friendships and all that kind of stuff too. But definitely in our romantic relationships as well. So now that we've seen that we need it, I want to look at how we can use it, how we can use discernment. And for that, I'm going to go right back to Psalm 1, and I'm going to read the rest of the psalm. Starting in verse 2, it says, "His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law He meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but they are like chaff, which the wind drives away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous, for the Lord knows the way of the righteous, and the way of the wicked will perish." So here you have a a contrast of, you know, there's two different paths you can go. You know, use discernment in relationships, but in all things. But this is talking about the people you're hanging out with. Blessed is the person who chooses to distance himself from those who are living an ungodly lifestyle, a lifestyle that doesn't honor Jesus, that doesn't obey the Bible. You know, distance yourself from those people. And that may sound harsh, but I'm telling you, do it. It's wise. And surround yourself with godly people. And the people that, you know, the way you can use discernment on knowing who, you know, is who are the right people to have relationship with and who are the wrong people is God's word. Is in his word, he meditates day and night. And it says, if you are in God's word, that you will be like a tree that is firmly planted by a stream of water, and you're rooted in there, and you're going to stand, okay? But hanging around ungodly people, people that don't have the same values as you, is like a tree that's planted by termites, all right? And they're just going to chew at you until you fall. And so God says, be in my word, have relationship with me. And I'll say, you know, it gets longer and longer since I do these messages, since my college days. It was a long time ago now. Even longer for Aaron, though. But I'll tell you the two main factors. The first factor that transformed my life and my relationships was God's word, was the Bible. And that's why we stress it all the time. I know you hear over and over again, read your Bible, but there's a reason why. It transforms you. It'll transform me. It'll transform you. And God's word is powerful. In Hebrews 5, solid food is for the mature who, because of practice, have their senses trained to discern good and evil. And the context of those verses are that there are people who are eating up God's word, who are eating the steak and potatoes, the meat of God's word. They're really digging in. They're biting in to God's word. But there's other people who are Christians, but they're like babies. They can only take like the milk. They're very surface level. They're not really digging in. They're just barely, you know, getting by on God's word. It says, for those who are eating of God's word, who are taking it in every day, those people will be able to discern between what's right and what's wrong, what's good and what's evil. So I'd say the biggest thing in my life that has helped me with this area of discernment in relationships and in all things, really, is taking in God's word every day. It's really important. So that's the first thing. It's transformed my thinking. The second biggest factor, though, in my life has been what I've been talking about this whole time, is getting plugged in to godly fellowship. There's a reason why in the book of Hebrews it says that don't forsake congregating together. Don't abandon church. Don't stop going to church. Don't stop going to youth group. Okay, when I was younger, I actually wasn't a big youth group fan. It's kind of funny. I was kind of more a loner, like doing my own thing. Didn't really like big groups so much. And now you know me. I love it. I help out with it. I'm a really old junior hire. It's being in God's word and being plugged in to godly fellowship with people. I have a great Bible study outside of church. I love this church. I think, you know, this church can equip you and has equipped me to live a life that honors Jesus, to live a life that can discern these things, these big topics like relationships. And I think it will do that for you, too, if you allow it to. Find your group in here. Fellowship with people who are like-minded that you guys can build each other up. There's all the, in the Bible, there's all the one another's. I remember Lee Banton preached on that a while ago. I think I actually still have the handout that we had. Yeah, all the one another's. There's like a lot of them. But the idea there is that we as a community of believers are to be building each other up, love one another, serve one another, etc. And, you know, as you're pouring into others' lives and building them up, they're doing the same for you. That's the ideal. And that's what we strive for here at RBC and in the youth group and in all the ministries, really. And so the second biggest factor in how to discern, I think, is having godly fellowship. That's what I found in my life to be the two things that really helped me in discerning relationships. And also, I would just advise, read the first couple chapters of Proverbs. Read like the first five chapters of Proverbs. There's so much, like a father is talking to his son, like giving him wisdom and saying, you know, don't hang out with these people who love violence and cause dissension and love wickedness and promiscuity, like, you know, hanging around women and when they ought not to and that kind of thing. He describes the pitfalls of that, and then he juxtaposes it with, you know, following God's commands, being with the righteous, being with people who honor God and are like-minded will build you up. And if you study the life of Solomon, you'll find that he didn't follow his own advice so well. And so if you go to the next book, Ecclesiastes, he talks about all the consequences of not following his dad's advice. Just read some of the Proverbs. They're pretty short, but there's a lot of wisdom and how to discern things as well. But anyways, all of this, though, is well and good, but no relationship that you have will be quite right unless you have this, what I call the key point of this message. And that's this. My key point here is that no relationship will be right, will be quite right until God is your primary relationship. You may say, oh, people can have good relationships outside of being a Christian, you know, parents love their kids, you know, loving their siblings, etc. And that's true to a degree, but I know a lot of parents that love their kids, but maybe love them too much in the sense that their kids have become an idol to them. Or, you know, that's definitely happened to me in the context of romantic relationships. Very easy to make idols out of, you know, significant others. And so no relationship is going to be fulfilling, okay? Is going to be how God wants it to be, how it could best be, I should say. No relationship can be at its best outside of God being your number one relationship. That's what I mean by primary, that he is your first relationship of importance. And so as we've seen in this series of discernment, looking at all these things, we see that Jesus is the answer. We're going to look to Jesus when we're trying to figure out how to be discerning and how God can be that primary relationship in your life. Jesus actually makes this point too. In Matthew chapter 10, he says, "He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me." So Jesus is saying, basically, if you love mom or dad more than me, or moms and dads, if you love son or daughter more than me, even if you love your own life more than me, that's what he means by taking up your cross. That means, you know, taking your own life. Jesus says, if you love anything more than me, then you're not worthy of me. And that's because he wants to emphasize that he needs to be your primary relationship. Jesus wants you to have great relationships with your parents, with your kids, with your siblings, with your friends, with your coaches, with your teachers, etc. Jesus wants you to have great relationships with other people, but he knows that the only way that you can have the best relationships with those around you is by having first him be your primary relationship. And so, you know, also, God is a relational God. Sometimes people think of God as like out there somewhere. Some people who, you know, maybe aren't Christians, they think of, many religions think of God as like an impersonal force. You know, that's what kind of Buddhists believe in. Almost like Star Wars. Like, you know, you have there's a good side and a bad side, and there's this energy that's controlling everything but is a part of everything. That's not what we believe as Christians. We believe that God is a relational God, wants a relationship with you. That's why he created you. And he is a person. He became a person. Jesus. The reason he did that was to have relationship with you. And in the book of Acts, Paul says in chapter 17 that God isn't that far from any of us if we would just reach out and grasp for him. He's there if we will just go for him. And what I'm telling you is I want you to go for him. I want you, Jesus came here that you may know him. And I want you to know him because I've seen that knowing him has transformed my life. And it will transform your life and your relationships. And, you know, I don't want you to make all the mistakes I made. You know, we learn from experience, but it doesn't have to be yours. Okay, you can learn from my experience. You can learn from other people's, you know, leaders' experience. And avoid the mistakes that we've made and use discernment and make good decisions and follow Jesus because Jesus wants what's best for you. And so, you know, if we hang with Jesus, who is our Savior, who is our friend, who is our God, okay? He's got everything under control. The more you hang out with him, you'll be able to discern, you know, how to have relationship with those around you. I always think of this example kind of to hit this point home, but, you know, some of my favorite books are 1st and 2nd Samuel because David's the man. I love reading his stories. Very flawed guy, but that's kind of the appeal too. Like I can kind of relate to him. But he loved God. And we know of his feats. We know that he slew the giant and he did many other crazy things. He was a warrior, poet, shepherd, king. Like who has that on their resume, right? You know, what I've kind of loved about his story is, so he's on the run from Saul, who is the king. He's jealous of David because he knows David is going to be the next king. And so he's trying to kill David. And so David runs off into the wilderness. And it says that he had like a band of disgruntled ruffians. You know, it says that everybody who was distressed and depressed and indebted and upset gathered around David. So think of that company. We've just been talking about, you know, you don't want to surround yourself with the wrong type of people. Well, the wrong type of people surrounded around David because they were drawn to him. And you know what happened? It's kind of crazy. David, you know, slew the giant when he was younger. But by the end of their lives, these group of, you know, very odd, bad, you know, distressed people, they, by the end of 2 Samuel, we read, are David's mighty men. And they're slaying their own giants now. They've hung around David, and they have become like David. And, you know, David, often in the Bible, is a picture, is an example of, you know, it's pointing to, a lot of the Old Testament characters point to Christ. And I believe that this is one of those things that, you know, this is just pointing to the better than David. Jesus, right? I mean, you can look at this, the same thing with Jesus and the disciples. Peter is afraid of a girl by a fire. And a couple weeks later, you know, he is standing boldly in front of the religious leaders, the political leaders of the day, pronouncing Christ. He was afraid of that anybody even knew that he knew Jesus. And then a couple weeks later, he's pronouncing boldly. And the more we hang around Jesus, the more we become like Jesus. That's why we want you to surround yourself with godly fellowship, because the more that you hang around people, the more you become like them. Like this is in the Bible too. In you know, it speaks of in some of the prophetic books and in the Psalms. It speaks of, you know, people that engage in idolatry, who worship idols, become like them, which I always found was interesting. But then I thought to myself, you know, what are our idols? Like right now, you know, maybe video games or Netflix. Maybe you're doing a lot of that these days. Those can be easy idols. You'll become like what you are consuming. That's what, I mean, Aaron was saying those kinds of things when he was talking about entertainment. He almost drove over somebody because he had been playing something that, you know, you get points for driving over people and stuff. I mean, he didn't almost do that, but like the thought came in his mind, right? That was the point. I don't think he ever intended to do that. But, you know, it has an effect. The stuff that we watch, the violence, the sex, the, you know, all these things without consequences most of the time, they have an effect on us. And so what we spend time doing, who we spend time with, we become more like. And it's the same with Jesus. If you spend time with Jesus, if you spend time in his word, okay, if you, you know, we were talking, yes, the other day, you know, about how God's word is inspired. That means God breathed, right? And it's like, so when you're reading God's word, it's like his breath is literally like the words, like he's speaking. It's like the opposite of what you want to do right now with the coronavirus. You don't want to get your breath all over people. But that's kind of what it's saying. It's saying when you're reading God's word, it's like he's breathing out these words to you, speaking to you right from where you're reading. It's not just a book. It's Jesus is the word, right? So spend time in the word. Spend time with Jesus. Spend time in prayer. Spend time around godly people. And you'll find that you will be transformed and become more like Jesus. And if you do that, I promise you this, I promise you, you will be able to have better relationships, you'll have more satisfying relationships, and you will be a better person to other people who are looking to have a relationship too. Because we affect others too. So you'll be the kind of person that affects others in a positive way, and you'll surround yourself with people who will be filling you positively. And so, you know, with all that said, what I don't want to get across is that anybody who's not a Christian, anybody who believes something different, like keep an arm's distance, stay away from them. That's not what I'm saying. Because also, we are called to go out and to be a light in a dark world, right? We are called to go out and tell people about Jesus. But we see that Jesus went out, right? But there's a difference between being a light and shining and loving on people. There's a difference in that and surrounding yourselves with people in situations that aren't wise. And that's where the discernment comes in, right? There's a difference between going to like a party in college, like I was talking about. I'm not trying to witness to people there. But even if I was, it wouldn't be the right place to go, really. Not the right scenario. But building relationships with people and caring about them and loving them is always a good idea. But at the same time, you need to be surrounding yourselves with people who share your values and will build you up, because you need that. And you need to, even more than that, be building your relationship with Jesus, and that's the most primary thing. So I just wanted to say that too, because I didn't want you to be, you know, we're already doing the 6-foot distance thing, but even after this, you know, I'm not saying never talk to an unbeliever or somebody like that. It's not what I'm saying. I just want to finish it off with reading this one verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And it's one that I love, that I think kind of talks about this. It says, "We all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit." And so what he's saying there is as we look on Jesus more, as we look on the glory of God, which Hebrews 1 says, Jesus is that. Okay, as we look at Jesus, look to Jesus, spend time with Jesus, we're being transformed, like looking through a mirror. We're being transformed and made into his image. A lot of that has to do with spending time with him and valuing our relationship with Christ. However, you can't do that unless you actually have a relationship with Christ. And that's why it says he uses the Holy Spirit to do this, but you don't have the Holy Spirit to help you if you don't. If you've never placed your faith in Jesus Christ. And so the last thing I want to say is that if you've never ask Jesus to save you from your sin and to ask him to have a relationship with you, recognizing that I am a sinner and I need somebody to save me, and Jesus, I believe that that's you, then that process can start and that relationship starts. And it's one that you'll have for the rest of your life and beyond. People are eternal. Things aren't. Okay, remember that when you know, I said people, you love things and use people. We need to love people, use things, because everything in this world is temporary. It's not going to be here forever. But you and me and God are who we are. People are eternal. There is something after this life. And you will be there, and so will they. But if you want to be with God for the rest of eternity, you need to place your faith in him right now. If you don't, then you'll suffer the rest of eternity apart from him in what is hell. And so I just want to share that, and I'll pray, and then we'll, I was going to say be dismissed, but there's nobody to dismiss here. But we'll finish the video. Lord, I thank you again for giving me the opportunity to share your truth. Share a little bit of what you've done in my life, and I pray that you would open their hearts, that they might see, even as I was younger, when I was their age, I heard all these things and it kind of blew over my head, and I didn't really open my heart to it until much later when I had felt the consequences. Lord, I pray that they would avoid that, and I pray that they would open their eyes to your truth and who you are and understand that relationship with you, God, is the most important thing. It affects everything. That's why Jesus is the answer. That's why this series is called that, because it's true. Focusing on you is always the right move. And so I pray that they would do that. I pray if anybody who's watching this video hasn't placed their faith in you yet, that they would right now. And Lord, I just thank you for this church and for Aaron, I just pray that you would continue to guide us as we look to you, because you are the answer. And it's in your name, Jesus, that we pray. Amen. All right. See you guys.